if a man die, shall he live again? Job said there's hope of a tree. You cut down a tree that it may sprout again. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water and the sunshine, that old tree may live again. But man dieth, decayeth, wasteth away, goes back to the dust, gives up the ghost. Where is he? If a man dies, shall he live again? Shall he actually live again? Well, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15, evidently some of the people down in Corinth, some of the preachers and teachers and some of the people were questioning this resurrection of the dead. And Paul spends the entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians establishing the truth, the glorious truth of the resurrection. Actually, if you look at verse 16 and 17, he says the resurrection of the dead is fundamental to the gospel. Without the resurrection of the dead, we don't have any gospel. No gospel. Look at verse 16. If the dead rise not, Christ is not raised. He's still in the tomb, and he's an imposter. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. That's how important this resurrection business is. Christ is an imposter, your faith is vain, and no matter how you believe or what you believe, you're yet in your sins if the dead rise not. And much of the persecution which the early apostles suffered was because they preached the resurrection of the dead. You'll find that was a major point of their message. For example, look at verse 1. He says, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received." You've received this gospel that I preached unto you, and wherein you stand. This is what you believe. "And this gospel I preached unto you is the gospel by which also you're saved, if you hold fast, keep in memory what I preached unto you," and that is unless you believed in vain. Now here it is. "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received." This gospel didn't originate with me. "I received it from Christ. I delivered to you that which I received from Christ." When Paul taught the church about the Lord's table, he said, "I delivered unto you that which I received of the Lord, how that the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and blessed it and said, 'This is my body.' Blessed the wine and said, 'This is my blood.'" And he said, "This gospel I'm preaching is not my gospel. It's his gospel. It's the gospel of God. I delivered unto you what I received of the Lord." He said, "I wasn't taught this gospel by men. I was taught this gospel by God. And this gospel is how that Christ Jesus died for our sins. He died in our stead. He died in our room. He died in our place. He took our sins in his body on the tree and died for them." Christ's life on earth was lived as a representative. When he went to the cross, he went to the cross as a surety, as a representative, as a substitute. And at the right hand of God, he's our intercessor. "This is what I delivered unto you, how he died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now listen. What are the Scriptures? Well, it's not the New Testament. That's what he's writing here now. You see, he's penning the epistles now. He's writing the New Testament. Holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures are God-breathed, they're God-inspired, and here he's writing this epistle to the Corinthian church, which is under divine inspiration, or by divine inspiration. And he's saying, Christ died. Christ was born of Mary, lived on the earth, and died, was buried, and rose again, according to the scriptures. Not according to what I'm writing here, according to what's been written. What was written by Moses? What was written by David? What was written by Isaiah? That's the scriptures. It's the Old Testament scriptures. The Bible is one book of two testaments, two covenants. The Old Testament is Christ in picture, pattern, prophecy, promise. The New Testament is Christ in person. The Old Testament says someone's coming. The New Testament says he has come. And Paul says he died for our sins according to the scriptures, like the Passover lamb died, like Abel's sacrifice, like the ram that took Isaac's place, like the priest, like Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, like Moses smote the rock. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now watch it. And that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, according to the promises of God's word. Job summed it up here in Job 19. Would you hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 15, turn to Job 19. Job summed it up. Job is supposed to be the first book of the Bible, the oldest book in the Bible, the first one written is supposed to be the book of Job. Now listen to what Job says here in Job 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer, my righteousness, my substitute, my mediator, my Lord, I know that my Redeemer, that comes from kinsman redeemer. Are you familiar with that? Back when the Jewish people sold whatever their inheritance and were deeply in debt, at the end of 6 or 7 years, a kinsman who was willing and able could buy back their inheritance, called a kinsman redeemer. And Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He's related to us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He took our flesh and blood and bones. He took our sin, took our place. And he's able to redeem, and he's willing to redeem. And my Redeemer, Job said, the one who restores my soul, the one who redeemed me from the pit, who redeemed my lost inheritance, lost in Adam, I know he liveth. Well, to be my Redeemer, he had to die. But I know he lives. He died and he lives. And that he shall stand at the latter day on this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. And Job knew he was going to die. He saw his children die. He buried his mother and father. He buried his friends. He knew that the flesh decayed and rotted and went back to the dust from whence it came. And worms, they destroy us not from without, but from within. Did you know that? Go ahead and seal yourself up in a steel casket. Pay $10,000 for a steel casket. Put yourself in a 5-inch block, a concrete vault, and put tar around it, and put it out here in one of these mausoleums, and you'll still be dust next time we open that thing. Because you'll be rotted from within. See, that's where sin is. It's within. And our problem is not without, it's within. And you're going to go back to the dust, and worms are going to destroy this body from within. Yet, Job said, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. In my what? In my flesh. Yeah, but you just said you're going back to dust. Well, it's going to be a change. And he says, it's not going to be another whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So you see, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Isaiah looked for the resurrection. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Christ was raised according to the scriptures. Now look at verse 5. There is a resurrection. And he was seen of Peter. He appeared to Peter, then of the 12, Judas being dead, but they went by the name 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Our Lord arose from the grave, and 500 brethren at once saw him, of whom the greater part remain to this present day. But some are dead, some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, I saw him, Paul said. He was seen of me as one born out of the ordinary, an abortive birth, it says, one born at the wrong time. He says, I wasn't with the disciples when the Lord called them out. I wasn't with the apostles. You see, an apostle had to have seen the Lord, and an apostle had to have received his message directly from the Lord. That's two requirements of an apostle. He had to have seen the Lord and to have his gospel taught him directly by the Lord. There are no apostles today. There haven't been any since Paul. He was the last apostle. And he said, I wasn't with them. But I saw the Lord. Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus and spoke to him and taught him the gospel in Arabia. He said, I learned the gospel from the Lord. I saw him. When did Paul see Christ? After he arose from the dead. But he said, verse 9, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet or sufficient or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. When these other men were standing with Christ and for Christ, I persecuted the church. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. But verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. And the grace of God which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all of the apostles. Yet it wasn't I, it was the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. What? What do you believe? What do we preach? We preach the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Who he is, what he did, why did he do it? Where is he now? The gospel of Christ. And this gospel of Christ is the gospel of God. It's the ancient gospel. It's no new gospel. It's the gospel of how that Christ came as our substitute, our righteousness, our sin offering, our scapegoat, our risen justifier, our ascended reigning king. He arose from the dead. And I'll tell you this, in the next few verses, he shows us. Now listen to this. This is our gospel. This is the gospel of God. And he shows us in the next few verses the consequences of doubting or questioning the resurrection of the dead. Here are seven serious consequences. Listen to verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? You see this question that entered into the church? Now watch. Here, number one, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Christ is not risen. Secondly, and if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. This is all a pack of foolishness. All depending on if Christ arose. Thirdly, yea, and here's a serious charge, we've lied on God. We're false witnesses of God. We've misrepresented God Almighty. If Christ be not risen, we've misrepresented God. I've told a lie on God. That's serious. Because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not if the dead rise not. Now, in the fifth place, or fourth place, if Christ rise not, if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised, and he's in the tomb, and he's an imposter. And in the fifth place, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're yet in your sins. And next of all, listen, then they also which are fallen asleep, those who your friends who've died. I look over this congregation, lots of people have died since I've been here. And we've taken them out and buried them. They believed on Christ, they looked to Christ, they rested in Christ. You know what, if the dead rise not, they're perished. They're without God and without hope. They're dead, dead, eternally dead. There's no hope. If Christ be not raised. And then in the next place, I'll tell you this. If all that be true, if in this life only we have hope in religion or hope in Jesus or hope in the church or hope in anything else, we're of all men the most miserable creatures on this earth. If this is it. So there is a resurrection. You see that? It's the very fundamental fact of the gospel. Christ lived and died and rose again according to the scriptures. And he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and then he gives us those seven consequences if he be not raised. Now then, Christ arose as our representative. Here's the second part of this chapter, now beginning with verse 20. Now listen close. This is fundamental gospel truth. Listen carefully. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Christ died and he rose again. Now here's what you've got to remember. Jesus Christ represents us. He's considered with us. He's the head, we're the body. What he is, we are. Where he is, we are. What he did, we did. What he has, we have. You understand that? Christ and his people are one. He said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. I in them and thou in me. That they may be one. So what we consider here about Christ is true of us. And this is what he's saying. Now listen. Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What is the first fruits? All right, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Here's the first fruits. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Christ is risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. Deuteronomy 26 verse 1. Now, the first fruits was the first corn, wheat, barley, or grain that sprang out of the earth. I've got a little garden over in the backyard. I can hardly wait for that first tomato. That first tomato. That first zucchini. The first one is so good. That's the first fruits. The first corn that springs up. The first barley. It belongs to the Lord. Deuteronomy 26. Listen, and it shall be. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest, and that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto this country, which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. You see, that's the first fruits. That was back in Israel. Christ is our first fruit. Everything's fulfilled in him. But here, the first fruits that came forth, the farmer cut it, put it in a basket, took it and offered it to the Lord. All right, now watch this, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of all believers that slept. All who have died, who are dying, and who will die. He's the first one resurrected. You say, but people arose for Christ. Lazarus rose. Yeah, but Lazarus died again. You say the widow's son rose, he died again. At his crucifixion, some rose, but they died again. He's the first one to rise to immortality. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the first one to rise with an immortal, glorified body that shall never, ever, ever change. And he's just the first fruits of more to come. That's what this is saying. He's the first fruits of them that slept. That's right. Well, look at the next verse. For since by man came death, this thing of death, where did it come from the first? God didn't create man to die. When God made Adam of the dust of the earth, God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a what? A living soul.
God never made death. God never made man to die. Sin came in. By Adam, we died. By Adam, sin came.
By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By one man's sin, death entered the world, and death by sin. Adam started this thing. You see, he died, and he produced a son who was dead in sin and would die physically. And he produced a son that was dead in sin and would die. And you see, from Adam comes death. And everything that we produce out of this flesh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All right, read on. By man came death, by a man came resurrection of the dead. Who is the second man? It's Christ. Adam is our representative in the flesh, and Christ is our representative in the spirit. All right, read on. For as in Adam, all who are in Adam, all who identified with him, all who associate with him, all who came from his loins, and who's that? That's all people. Even Eve came out of Adam. God put Adam to sleep, made a woman out of him. God never created one man, that was Adam. Everything that is human in this earth came from that one fountain, and yet a dead one. That's right, from Adam. That's what's said. In Adam, all who are in Adam, all who identify with him, are dead. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Who's that all? That's all who are in Christ. All who are in his body. All who are in him. All who are given him by the Father. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all he hath given me I lose nothing, but I raise him up at the last day in Christ. You see, when Adam stood on this earth, we stood. When he sinned, we sinned. When he died, we died. And the consequences of his death and rebellion is passed to all men. In Adam we die. All die. Now when Christ came down to this earth, the second man is the Lord from heaven. He's the representative. He's the federal head. He's the surety of the covenant. He's the shepherd of the sheep. His blood is the blood of the covenant. When he stood on this earth, we stood in him. And when he obeyed God and loved God and minded God and submitted to God, we did it. And when he died, we died. And when he was buried, we was buried. When he arose, we arose. And we're seated with him in the heavens. That's what the scripture says. One with Christ. One with Christ. Verse 23, but every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Christ is the firstborn. Christ is the first begotten. Christ is the first elect, God said, then chose his people in their head. Christ is number one. He's the heir. We're joint heirs. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. He's the son. Every man in his own order, take your time, wait your turn in Christ. That's where it's coming now. Isn't that right, Charlie? It's going to come through him, in him, because of him, by, for him. A man that doesn't have Christ doesn't have anything. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. Without me, your branch is severed from the vine, fit for the burning, withered and dead. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ, they that are his. See that possessive? He says, they that are Christ, they that are his. When? At his coming. When he comes again. And then will come the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father, to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power, for he must reign. Christ reigns. He's sovereign. Sovereign. Till he puts all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy he'll put under his feet and destroy is death. When he comes, there'll be no more death. Far. Now when you see a far, see what it's there for. It's talking about what's just been said. And what's just been said is that the Son has a kingdom, a mediatorial kingdom. He's going to deliver up that kingdom to the Father. When did he get that kingdom? Before the world began. When God put it in his hand before the world began. When did he give him those people before the world began? He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ. God gave him a work. He said, I finished the work you gave me to do. God gave him the kingdom, and he came, his coming into this world, all the promises and types and pictures of Christ coming, and Christ coming and fulfilling, and Christ interceding right now. He sat down at the right hand of God expecting, what's expecting? Waiting triumphantly till his enemies become his footstool. It's a sure thing. And the Father delivered him a kingdom, and he says he's going to deliver that kingdom up to the Father. When all things are finished and over and done, he's going to deliver it up to the Father. It's not finished yet. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. Who's he? The Father. Who's his? Christ. Under his feet. You know, when something's under a fellow's feet, he reigns over it. It's subdued. It's in subjection to him when it's under his feet. Not under his wings or under his arms, under his feet. He reigns. The Father's put everything under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, well, it's manifested God is accepted. The Father is not put under him because the Father put all things under him. You see that says that right there? And when all things shall be subdued unto Christ, not the church, Christ. Not the law, Christ. Everything is going to bow. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord in heaven, earth, and under the earth. God has decreed that he shall have the preeminence. That's what this book says. And when all things shall be subdued, subjected unto Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, unto the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. One God. One God. One eternal living God. You see that? And then verse 29, else, here's another proof of the resurrection. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Now, what is baptism? Well, number one, it's a picture of what Christ did. Christ died, Christ buried, Christ rose again. What is baptism? It shows the death of Christ, the burial of Christ. Now, if he be not risen, it doesn't show anything. Y'all just lead the people under. When a person is baptized, they're baptized as one who died, and you bring them back up. You bring them up in what? In hope of the resurrection. You see that? So baptism is a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. And baptism is a picture of our death, burial, and resurrection. And if we don't rise, why do we baptize? Why do we baptize? We baptize for those who died with Christ, buried with Christ, and shall someday rise again. That's what baptism shows. And then another question he says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why do we suffer persecution for preaching this gospel if the dead rise not? Why are we meeting here if the dead rise not? I protest, verse 31, by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, that's not bears or lions, that's people, religious enemies. What advantage it me if the dead rise not? If the dead rise not, let's eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. Tomorrow we decay. Tomorrow we go into nothing. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What does that mean, preacher? That means you hang around false teachers and you'll get like them. That's exactly what it said. You hang around people that lie on God, you'll start lying on God. You hang around evil companions, corrupt good principles. That's what he said. Don't hang around these people that deny the word of God. Don't hang around these people that deny the truth of God. Just don't. If you do hang around them, you're going to be like them. They'll corrupt your good principles, convictions, and matters. So awake, awake to righteousness. And don't sin in this respect, doubting God's word. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. All right, here's the next part now. How are the dead raised? How are dead bodies raised from the earth? There's no use me going into all of this with you. You know what happens when somebody dies. They're so long underground, and they've undergone thousands of changes. You bury somebody in the ground, and their bodies are gone back to the dust. Well, how are they raised? How do they come forth? All right, listen to Paul. Now, fool. Now, he's not speaking angrily here. He's just saying, no use being foolish about this thing. No use being foolish. God's the author of life. If God can create a man, Adam, out of the dust, he can sure raise one out of the dust. If God can create a world, a universe, and a sun and a moon and stars out of nothing, he can sure raise somebody who's been dead a few years. But here he uses the farmer. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now what's he say? Well, you take a seed of corn, or oats, or barley. It's just one grain from a whole ear of corn. And lay it here on this pulpit. It'll never live. It'll never bear fruit. It'll never grow. It's got to go in the ground and germinate. It's got to die. It's got to rot. It's got to rot. It'll never produce anything until it rots. Is that correct? It's never quickened, never grows till you plant it. All right, read on. And that which thou sowest, you sow not the body that shall be. Now, you don't go out here and get a whole stalk of corn that's got the thing up, tassels at the top and the silk out. You know, you don't get a whole stalk of corn with about 5 ears on it and dig a trench and lay that. You don't plant what you expect to get. You don't plant what's going to be. When you lay this plant to flowers, you don't dig a hole and plant the old flower in the ground. You just plant a seed. Great verse. And that which you sow not the body that shall be. You just sow a little grain, a bare grain. It may be wheat. It may be some other grain. And God gives it a body as it pleases him to every seed his own body. You take a little withered seed of corn or something and put it in the ground. And it rain falls on it, and moisture and sun, and it rots. And after a while, out of that seed comes a little life. And then it grows up, and that just keeps that while. You got a beautiful stalk of corn with a bunch of ears with hundreds of grains on each one. And it came from that grain that you planted, but it sure looks different. You planted that dry, hard, shriveled, old grain. And look what you got. Look at the juice in that, and the life, and the beauty. You see what it's saying? Well, that's the way God raises the dead. That's the way God raises the dead. And God does it. God does it. You know, I planted some okra this year, and it didn't come up. Some friends down south sent me some. I love okra, and I planted. This is a tough place to raise okra. But it didn't come up, and I planted it again. And you know what a dry spell we were? Well, I watered it, but it didn't come up. I planted it 1st of June. This is the middle of July. Do you know that okra came up the other day? Been in the ground for weeks and weeks and weeks. Russell, that stuff came up. It's about that high. I'd given up. Just that old shrivel and okra seed is nothing. Just a little grain of stuff. And it's the prettiest, healthiest plants. And that's the way Paul said the dead are raised. Now, watch this. Verse 3. All flesh is not the same flesh. You say, are we going to be raised with this kind of flesh? Well, all flesh is not the same flesh. This flesh got some brown spots. What's that mean? That's sweet spots, like Walter said, bananas or old spots. But all flesh is not the same flesh. You see what I'm saying? All flesh is not. He said this. Flesh of men and flesh of beasts and flesh of birds and flesh of fish. Different kinds of flesh, isn't it? Well, when our bodies come out of the grave, we're going to be flesh, but not this flesh. Not the same kind. You see what I'm saying? There's I have flesh and that dog has flesh. But my flesh is far above his. I have flesh and that fish has flesh. But mine's far superior. And that flesh with which I'm coming out of the grave is far superior to this. It's going to be of the same kind. See, the different kinds of flesh. See that, Tom? Different kinds, but it's still flesh. And the flesh with which I'm going to be raised in the likeness of my Lord from the dead is immortal flesh, incorruptible flesh, undecaying flesh that's not going to have any spots or blemishes or decay, but still be flesh. What Paul is saying here, he's saying we're going to be flesh, but he says it's different kinds of flesh. And then he says in verse 40, there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. And the glory of the heaven is one, the glory of the earth is another. And then there's the glory of the sun, and there's the glory of the moon, and there's the glory of the stars, and then there's different glory. See the progression? The sun's greater glory than the moon. The moon's greater glory than the stars. And the stars differ in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. We're going to sow this flesh in corruption. In sin and weakness. Oh, I get so tired, don't you? And I hurt and get pains. And you have to keep, you ladies have to keep putting that oil on your skin to keep them drying out. And that's flesh. But someday you're going to have flesh that'll never dry out. That'll never wrinkle. Wouldn't that be something? No wrinkles. I'm telling the truth. Because he says there's a difference in flesh. There are different kinds of flesh. And though we're going to be flesh, he said we're sown in corruption, we're going to be raised in incorruption. We're sown in dishonor, verse 43. We're going to be raised in glory. No past to remember, no sins. It's sown in weakness, all the weakness of it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body to be raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. And you know something? Our Lord was raised from the dead. He appeared to his disciples and he said, touch me. Touch me. And then you know what he did, Jerry? He ate. He took fish and ate it and drank. And he had flesh. Glorified flesh, immortal, incorruptible, perfect flesh, powerful flesh. Now watch verse 45. So it is written. Here's that representation again. Now listen. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You with me? First Adam, in whom we were born, in whom we lived, in whom we died. The second Adam is the Lord. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. In other words, Adam came along and then born of woman was a man, Christ Jesus. He came second. He was first, but he appeared. He was revealed second. He was before Adam, but he was revealed second. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, you're going to have to learn this representation or you're not going to learn the gospel. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. In Adam we sin, in Christ we're made holy. In Adam we're unrighteous, in Christ we're sanctified. In Adam we die, in Christ we live. Now, you've got to learn that. It's representation, imputation. As, verse 48, is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. That's us like we are now. And as is the heavenly, high is he. Such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's what I'm talking about. You study how Christ was when he arose. Study how he was. And that's what flesh, but not this flesh, a greater flesh, incorruptible flesh, immortal flesh, sinless flesh. Now I say, brethren, flesh and blood, this flesh and this blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can't do it. And corruption is not going to inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. One day Christ is coming back. I don't know when. I don't know when. It's not given to you to know the times. The angels don't know when. But he's coming back. And when he comes, somebody's still going to be living. But they're not going to be taken to heaven in these natural bodies. They're going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. We're going to be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are living shall be changed incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And I hasten to say this. Where is it found? In Christ. You can't put on incorruption in that pool. You can't put on incorruption down here praying through. You can't put on incorruption shaking a preacher's hand. That incorruption is found in Christ. We found our corruption in Adam, we'll find our incorruption in Christ. And because he lives, we live. I am come, he said, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We have life such as it is, physical. But I want abundant life. You see what I'm saying? So, verse 54, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And I tell you, the grave's going to have victory over everybody that's not in Christ. Death, the sting of death is sin. You know when a wasp or a bee comes around and stings you, plants his stinger, he loses it. He can't sting you again, they tell me. Well, Christ has taken the sting out of death at Calvary. And there is no more death. Read on. Thanks be to God, verse 57, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our victory. He's our resurrection. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Did that help? The dead shall be raised. Verse 58, therefore, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The motive of preachers must be measured and examined. I want you to believe the Word. Believe God. I want you to take part in this glorious resurrection. I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want to attain the resurrection of the dead. We must lose our interest in building monuments and building followings and seek followers after themselves. Forget it. Forget it. Forget these monuments and followings and organizations and all this sort of thing. And let's look to Christ, personally and individually. Rest in Him. We'll help one another and cooperate one another and encourage one another and exhort one another so much more as we see the day approaching. But my business is with the King, because all things are in Him.